And please turn to Romans chapter 12. We want to talk about strengthening the souls of our brothers and sisters by encouraging them to continue in the faith, the common faith we all share in the family of God. The truth concerning the faith of Jesus Christ leads to that environment of mutual respect and love. And this is very important. And it should be taught again and again and again, because in the first century, this truth that we're going to talk about is what got lost rather quickly. Being established in the faith of Jesus Christ brings stability to Christian living. It's what helps us recognize God's sovereignty, his overall care in all categories. And another thing it does, it sets the stage for leaders to rise up to what God has called them to do with him. And here in this foundational epistle of Romans, very familiar scriptures, we see the pattern of the first 11 chapters and the first section of this chapter 12, how it begins with faith. Here in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me," Paul wrote, "to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That's right. "But to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." See, the grace that was given to Paul, here it's specifically zeroing in on the measure of faith given to every man. When we embrace that measure of faith in every Christian believer, no one thinks more highly of themselves than they ought to think. That is beautiful. It removes comparison from among us, because it sets an environment of mutual respect in Christ. When the same measure of faith is maintained among us, this is what sets the stage for functioning together in the body. And you can see this in verse 4. "For as we have many members in one body, not all members have the same office or function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Then it moves into the figurative understanding of the body of Christ, which is our interdependent functioning in unity. But when it comes to the faith, our faith is common to each of us. But when it comes to functioning, our function is unique. But if we jump to the function and we don't retain the understanding that the faith is common, then we start getting into comparison when it comes to functioning in the body. Does that make sense? It is a pitfall, and we can see in the records of the word and in some secular writings for sure in the first and second centuries what happened. They walked away from the faith of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The body of Christ is never brought up in the epistles of Timothy and Titus. It's never brought up. It's not even brought up in Philemon. In fact, it's not brought up in 1 and 2 Thessalonians or in the transitional books of James, Jude, and Hebrews. But faith is featured in all these. Why does Paul not address the body of Christ? Because he understood that the foundation of Christianity has to be on the completed, finished work of Christ, which is his faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, which each of us share in the family of God. And Timothy, as Paul's protege, he really took this to his heart. And you can see this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of the faith." The text is the faith. "And of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." Timothy, as a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, was to put the believers in remembrance. Now, we may hear a verse or we may hear a truth 1,000 times, and then it's that one time when we're ready, it sinks deep into our heart and begins a chain reaction of growth in your life that can only happen with God's involvement and our humility. Timothy was to put them in remembrance because the world is constantly endeavoring to mold our identity. And not only that, to blemish God's character. The words of faith and good doctrine wherein unto thou hast attained. And those words, hast attained, mean followed closely with one's thoughts. This is something he had done in the past, and he was doing it up to the very present. He followed closely what Paul was teaching regarding the faith of Jesus Christ. And Paul is exhorting him, encouraging him to be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring people back into remembrance. If we see the environment of mutual respect eroding, if we see the sovereignty of God being blemished by words that people speak, we lovingly encourage them back to the foundation of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 14, please. You know, 2 Peter speaks about not being negligent, to put believers always in remembrance of things. Quote, though ye know them, end quote. That's what Peter says. Jude speaks in the book of Jude. He speaks about the beloved of God are encouraged to earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, it is a spiritual competition to get talked out of the work of Christ and fall into condemnation or into judgment that isn't ours to level. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. And Jude says, I will put you in remembrance, though you know this. That's what Jude said. It's very important to continue to rehearse the understanding of the faith of Jesus Christ, his finished work, his accomplished truth for us, and encourage an environment of mutual respect, and not judge anyone's value or anyone's worth based on earthly standards. We certainly are to judge behavior, to discern right from wrong, no question there. But we do not judge people's worth or value, because to God, God loves people, and that's the way we should be as well. See, Paul knew the disciples needed to be grounded in the faith if they were going to grow and live quality lives in the Lord. And here in Acts 14, he and Barnabas had been on itinerary, and they go back through some of the areas they were in. And look at these verses closely. Acts 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel at that city and had taught many, they returned again. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. What were they doing? Why did they go back? Why were they interested and guided, if you will, to go back again? It tells you right here. Confirming the souls of the disciples. And confirming means to strengthen. To strengthen the souls. It doesn't say strengthen their mind. It says strengthen their souls. That whole person, that whole being. And there's nothing more solid in the life of a believer than the completed work of Christ. Nothing. It's irrefutable. It's undeniable. It cannot be overturned. It cannot be negated, because it is an accomplished reality. And this is why it brings strength to the souls of the disciples. And how did they do this? Exhorting them, encouraging them to continue in the faith. They were to continue in it. That means that the environment in which they were operating as Christian believers would have mutual respect. There was no comparison among them. Zero. When it comes to the faith, we are all common. We have the same common faith, like Titus says. But when it comes to our functioning in the body, that's unique. But we must maintain that faith or we move into unique functioning, and then oftentimes comparison comes into play. To continue in the faith, watch this, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. This much tribulation is pressure. It doesn't mean that God is requiring pressure to understand the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is not a place. It's an understanding of his sovereignty and care over all things and all time. Why is there a gauntlet of pressure in order to move into this understanding? It's because the world does not believe that God is sovereign. The world does not believe that God cares for things and people. The world does not believe that. It will not endorse that. That's why the world will squeeze, pressure you out of an understanding of the kingdom of God. It will never endorse the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. It will never say, yes, sir, I have eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Well, but what's the foundation of it is continuing in the faith. It's so important for us to do this, because in the world, it is like a gauntlet. It's like a pressure cooker that tries to mold your identity and tries to blemish the character of God. We can't allow that. Romans 12:2 tells us that we are to be nonconformists. Be not conformed to this age, because this age, this generation, which is crooked and perverse, endeavors at the very least to distract us, and if possible, dissuade us from recognizing God's sovereignty and care over all things and all time. It's one issue after another. And his character, starting with that, is always under attack. That's right. As if God did not know the issues that you're facing. As if God did not know all the challenges that face mankind. And he's totally caught off guard. He doesn't know what to do. He's confused. He's going to ask us, what do you think I should do? That's not going to happen. He already knows. He's already foreseen the current issues that you and I face. He's already prepared a way out for us. He is God. But see, it starts with the accomplished work of Christ. Because if a Christian doesn't have a solid foundation in the accomplished work of Christ, they get blown about with every wind of doctrine and a sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Every day, the gauntlet is assaulting the minds of Christian believers. And it does not have to happen to you. And it does not have to happen to me. That's right. Not only that, look what it leads to. Look at verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church. A church is just a called out group of Christians. And there were elders. Elders doesn't mean in age. As you understand this concept through the Old Testament into the New, an elder is someone that has gained a level of wisdom, either through experience or age or a combination. But they have wisdom and had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. See, this little pattern here is so amazing because it requires rehearsal. You know, you can hear something once, twice, three, four times, but there may be a point where God knows you're ready to hear from him in a certain category that's going to illuminate your soul regarding your identity in Christ. It will illuminate your soul regarding his character in your life and walk. So the question is, how can we continue to encourage one another to continue in the faith? What can we do? One key way to do that is words, what we say and what we don't say. Paul understood this. That's why he went back to reinforce and strengthen the souls of the disciples. Look at Romans 14, please. Romans 14. You have to be around people. You and I, the best is when we are around people. Now, again, we can do things like we're doing here on Zoom and so forth, texting, calling. All that's valuable. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is to be around people is so important. And sometimes it might take a little more effort these days. Totally understood. Get it. And you know what? God gets it. He understands that. And he will facilitate what you need when you need it. In Romans chapter 14, we see this truth. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye but not to doubtful disputations. Weak in the faith doesn't mean a weak person. What it means is somebody that has not yet derived strength from the accomplished work of Christ. The sufficient strength to move on with life. They still think there's stuff they have to do or they have to abstain from in order for that work to be complete. That's an impossibility because Jesus Christ said it is finished. Either he lied or he told the truth. Receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, meaning don't get into quarrels with people about opinions or judge their worth as a son of God. What are we to do? Well, look at Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong, the context is faith. We are to be strong in the faith, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. See, strong in the faith is not an attitude of superiority. It's actually humility. We help carry the load for those that are perhaps on the learning curve of becoming strong in the faith. There may be obstacles in their mind from their past or the culture that has just weighed them down, and therefore burdens become heavier as they live each day. That's why it says strong. If we're going to help people, we need to be strong in the faith. Because it's the work of another man that we promote. And that man is Jesus Christ. The faith of Christ, which is rooted in grace, lightens the Christian's load because our trust is in the work of another man. It's not up to you and me. It's not whether we have a good day or a bad day. The more we trust the work of Christ, the less burdened we will be each day. And in so doing, we will be able to help more and more people. Our words will have more impact. Our ministering will be far-reaching because they're not our own words. They're the words of our Lord. We're communicating about him. But again, we need to be around each other to remind each other of the truth using words of life. Because we live in a crooked and perverse generation and time. And the pressures of the world want to squeeze out the understanding of the kingdom of God. As if God went on vacation. As if God doesn't know what's going on. You know that's a bunch of nonsense. But yet it still eats away at our confidence. That's why we need to be around people that are going to remind us of this truth. And not wallow in fear and anxiety about everything. Yeah, that's what Paul was doing. He was setting them on that foundation of the accomplished work of Christ. And that takes being around people. And being around people takes effort. It does. There's no two ways about it. It takes effort. That does not mean that we should condemn anybody, you know, what they do. That's not what I'm saying at all. We want to encourage people. And let's close in Hebrews chapter 10. Paul clearly understood this. Like I mentioned, God did not inspire in the Apostle Paul in the leadership epistles of Timothy, Titus, or even Philemon and other places to talk about the body of Christ. He wanted to get the faith really rooted and grounded in the leadership body, because that's where it has to live first. And when it does, great ministry, great deliverance follows. And elders rise up in every church, every local group, In Hebrews chapter 10, we see that we draw near to God's presence in our hearts because we are assured, we're fully convinced of the faith. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, genuine, true heart, in full assurance, or being fully convinced of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, if faith is the foundation, what is the goal? What is it aiming at? If faith is the foundation, what are we aiming at? Hope. Faith always leads to hope. That's right. In fact, hope is the end, the conclusion of faith. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, or really our hope here. The word faith should be hope here. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. That means we consider each other mutually. And the best way to do that is in person, when possible. No condemnation or criticism. When it's possible, that's the best. Why are we getting together? Two simple things. To provoke unto love and to good works. That's it. We provoke, we inspire, we sharpen one another to love and to good works. And good works are what you and I do with God. Works are what we do on our own. They may look the same, but good works are what we do with God. Or another way to put it, it's through the grace of God, his involvement. Those two things, as we are fully assured in the faith, we look towards that hope. And what do we do in the meanwhile? We provoke, we inspire one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Again, mutually. And so the much more as we see the day approaching. You don't see it physically, but in your heart of hearts, we're zeroing in on the return of Christ, the day of Christ. And the foundation of all this is the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is what strengthens the souls of our brothers and sisters. We encourage them to continue in the faith, which is that common finished work of Christ we all share. It develops an environment of mutual respect. And as we assemble ourselves together, we seek to inspire one another, to provoke one another, to love and to good works, to get God involved in all regards. So being established in the faith of Jesus Christ brings that stability to people's lives. As it does that, it allows us to recognize God's sovereignty and not allow his character to be blemished, certainly not in our hearts. And this is a great truth, because as we saw in Acts 14, it sets the stage for leaders rising up to do what God has called them to do with him.